In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There are many lessons that we can draw from the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, but one of the lessons we get towards the end of the parable, and that's that after the rich man realizes that he's in torment, and that there's not anything that he can do about it, no relief that he can expect to get, he then has his thoughts turned to his family, and he asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his family because he has five brothers. And Abraham says, well, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. The implication being that if the rich man had heard Moses and the prophets, he wouldn't be where he is either. He failed to make use of the opportunities that he had to hear the word of God and to keep it. In the 118th Psalm, we hear in the 20th section about people exactly like this rich man. It begins with the word, "Behold my humiliation and rescue me. Thy law have I not forgotten." When we talk about humility, that's one thing, but humiliation is when we have people on the outside that are causing us to suffer affliction, and we are humbled by that. And the prophet David is here saying, "Behold my humiliation and rescue me." So he's calling on God to look at the afflictions that he's suffering from those that are caught that are persecuting him, and to deliver him. And the reason for that is because he has not forgotten his law. An example from the life of David of him doing this very thing was when his son Absalom rebelled against him, and when he realized that he could not stay in Jerusalem, him and his soldiers and many members of the royal family decided to leave Jerusalem so that they would not wind up being killed by this rebellion. And on the way out of Jerusalem, there was a relative of Saul who was standing on a hill that sort of ran parallel to the road. His name was Shimei, and he was throwing rocks at David and kicking up dust, and he said, come out, you man of blood. You're getting exactly what you deserve. You've been caught in your own craftiness. And then one of David's mighty men, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, he turned to his king and he said, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And King David responded to him and he said, "Behold, my son, which came forth my bowel, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." So King David was trusting that if he bore this humiliation that he was suffering from this man, that God would have pity on him. And as a matter of fact, if you read on in the story, we find that King David's throne was restored to him and that he triumphed. But when we suffer humiliation, it needs to be that we're suffering it because we're doing the right thing, not because we're doing evil. In the first epistle of St. Peter, he says, "What glory is it if, when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Judge my cause and redeem me, for thy word's sake quicken me." Before one could pray this prayer, they would need to have a conscience that had been made pure by repentance, and then by God's redeeming grace, their souls are made alive according to God's promise and his word. "Far from sinners is salvation, for they have not sought after thy statutes." The rich man is a case in point. What did the rich man do? He lived his life in luxury. He didn't care about the poor. He gave no regard to the teachings of Moses and the prophets. And when he asked Abraham to send Lazarus and Lazarus to his family, and Lazarus responded, "They have Moses and the prophets," he said, "No, if someone came from the dead, surely they would listen." He said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone should rise from the dead." Well, we have even fewer excuses than the rich man does, because we have not only Moses and the prophets, but we have the Gospels, the epistles, and Christ has risen from the dead. And so if we are not living a life for God, if our life is not focused on hearing the word of God and keeping it, it's because we are choosing consciously to reject all of those things. Thy compassions are many, O Lord, according to thy judgment, quicken me. We hear in the 50th Psalm, the psalm we hear the most often in our prayers, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy, and according to the multitude of thy compassions, blot out my transgression. God never runs out of mercy and compassion. His mercy endureth forever, we hear in the Polyoleos. Elsewhere in the Psalms, we hear the words of mercy and judgment will I sing unto thee, O Lord. What kind of judgment do we seek? We seek judgment that's with mercy in response to our humble repentance. This is the judgment that brings life to a sinner. Many are they that persecute me and afflict me. From thy testimonies have I not declined. Hope of salvation gives strength for enduring and overcoming all adversities that we encounter on the path to salvation. As we heard in the Beatitudes this morning, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But if we are to overcome in the face of persecution, one has to not have turned their back on God's word. I beheld men acting foolishly, and I pined away because they kept not thy sayings. This was true of St. Paul, who said that he would even be lost himself if by him being cut off from God, his people would be saved. That's how much he loved his people and cared for those that were lost. Jeremiah, the prophet, we have an entire book of Lamentations where he just weeps over his people because they've turned away from God and they've suffered the results of that. And the Lord himself, when he was in Jerusalem before his passion, said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You can't read those words without having a strong sense of how much Christ longed for these people to repent, how much he desired their salvation. Well, we as believers have to have a burden like that for those that are lost and a desire to see them come to know God, and that requires not just that we inform ourselves about our faith so that we can explain it to them, but that we live a life that would inspire them to want to come to know God. Behold, how I have loved thy commandments, O Lord, and thy mercy quicken me. The prophet did not simply obey the commandments of God's word, but he loved them. One comes to love God's word by reading them and doing what they say. And as a result, such a person becomes filled with the grace and love of God, which causes them to love God's word as they increasingly come to know God himself. Such a person doesn't have to be cajoled into reading the Bible. Now, in the beginning stages, it's not easy, and you may find it frustrating to try to read the scriptures. But if you will force yourself in the beginning, as you come to know what it's talking about and put it into practice, you will come to have a love for reading the scriptures, and it won't be a duty anymore. It will be something that you are able to do of your own volition. Metropolitan Anthony Kropovitsky, in his book on confession, said that if someone reads through the Bible two or three times, they won't have to force themselves to keep reading it because they will have a desire to do it all of their own. Also, for the third time in this section of Psalm 118, the prophet is praying for God's quickening power, that God will make us alive spiritually in this life and will raise us up to life eternal in the next. And then finally it says, the beginning of thy words is truth, and all the judgments of thy righteousness endure forever. It's from a firm belief that God's words are true that one is able to endure humiliation and persecution, but nevertheless is able to trust God for the grace and power to overcome those things. And that this is so is because God himself is the truth and is the divine author of the scripture. Don't be like the rich man who spent his life neglecting God's word and ended up regretting it eternally. As I said, we don't have the kind of excuses that he has because we have even more revelation. We have the revelation of Christ himself. So because Christ is risen from the dead, because he himself testifies to the truth of Scripture, because we believe that God's words are true, we need to study them diligently and to live them out in our life. Amen.